The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We got there eventually. Fourth word, fifth word. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's happening.
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good. Live from Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Las Vegas. On the show today, Bill Krakenberger, the return of the crack man.
That's right.
Here at the table at the D.
What is, it's been 2-3 weeks before the Masters.
Is that? Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
He hasn't been with us. That's right. For various reasons, some happier than others. But he'll be with us here to do give us a full hour at the desk, at the table, at the shield, whatever we're calling it here at the D, Bar Canada. And we have Peter Fornital on the Kentucky Derby, my old buddy from the Money Players podcast. We'll talk 150th run for the Roses. And Al Bernstein, Kelly, original VSiN host, boxing aficionado for so many years at ESPN and Showtime. He's making a big career move in his boxing broadcasting game, and he'll be here to talk about Canelo Alvarez and Jaime Munguia for the super middleweight title of the world.
Let's go.
At T-Mobile, my backyard right here in Vegas. Horse racing and boxing, ladies and gentlemen. If the coveted 18 to 49-year-old demographic is what you're looking for, you've come to the right place.
That's right. coming up next, we'll talk about the rise of communism across the world.
And then bare-fisted boxing after that. Before we talk NBA.
Oh, were you going to say something? You threw me off something.
Sorry.
No, that was good.
Before we talk NBA here, obviously two games last night. Blowout fashion again. By the way, the NBA playoffs is very much thus far like March Madness, which is to say there were moments where it was great, but those moments were completely trumped by so many other just ridiculous blowout ho-hum results. But we do have four game sixes, two today, two tomorrow. We'll get to those momentarily. I just want to...
It feels like very... I hear you. If you're a casual fan, it feels very much like, oh, one night's great, one night blah.
Yeah, from a non-betting perspective, right. Okay, before we get to that, postscript on the Guardians. You know the Guardians beat the Astros in extra innings last night.
Obviously.
Because, of course, they did. In retrospect, that was like the lock of the night. Of course
should've
they're going to
hammered
win.
The Guardians yesterday. Yeah.
It went to extras. Of course they won in extras. And guess who got doubled up to end the game? Victor Caratini. It's just, you can't make it up. The best comment, I think, was from Wishnev, Todd Wishnev, who on this show, for those who are familiar with, who are keen observers of this show, the greatest bad beat story of all time, in my opinion, is Todd Wishnev's Yom Kippur massacre story, which was not an actual massacre, so no one panic, but that's what he dubbed this bad beat, and it had to do with, I'll just give the 10-second thumbnail here, it had to do with he had USC in some game, they impossibly lost a game on a Saturday, which happened to be Yom Kippur, the holiest of Jewish holidays, and the quarterback for Arizona State that killed him was a kid by the name of Mike Berkovici. And so he endures this bad beat by this kid, Mike Berkovici. And then 2 weeks later, one of his buddies emails him and is like, hey, are you familiar with the football player Mike Berkovici? And Todd's like, are you messing with me? Like, really? Like, he didn't use the word messing, right? He's like, are you messing with me? He goes, no, I'm here at Starbucks right down the road. And I'm like with this guy's grandfather, Mike Berkovici's grandfather. And Todd's like, what? I'm coming down there. So he ends up having this talk with Mike Berkovici's grandfather, the kid that crushed him in the bad beat. And turns out that he learns in this conversation that Berkovici is Jewish. He's like, wait a minute. You're Mike Berkovici's grandfather, and he's Jewish, and he was playing on Yom Kippur? He's Sandy Koufax, he was not. So anyway, Todd says to me, he goes, the only thing that could make this any better is if you get a text from somebody 2 weeks from now that Victor Caratini's grandfather is hanging out at Starbucks and you find out that his wife's last name was Goldstein. That's the only thing that can make this even more ridiculous.
Oh,
all right. NBA, last night, Luka gets it done in a big way for the Mavs, and the Mavs beat the Clip Show by 30. The Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. Is it even necessary to say the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard? I feel like the baseline ought to just be like Clippers. And then if he plays, I should mention it.
Yes, I agree with you. Although, would I be shocked if he tried to do the hobbled hero return for Game 6 and be completely useless on the court? No, I wouldn't be shocked by that.
35-10-7 from Luka last night. 30-point Mavericks win. They take a 3-2 lead in their best of seven first round series against the Clippers. They go back to Dallas for game six with the Mavericks. They're like an 8-point favorite in this game now. Yeah. In game six. And the Celtics, no surprise, wrapping things up against Miami. They beat the Heat by 34. They wait for the winner of the Cavs and the Magic. The Heat without Jaime Hawkins, as we talked about yesterday on the show. So it just got even more ridiculous in that series. So in essence, what we have now in the NBA playoffs is two teams got swept, the Suns and the Pelicans out west. Two teams went down in gentlemen's sweeps, if you will, five-game series. That was the Lakers and the Heat now. And then we do have four that are going to game sixes, Kelly, beginning with two tonight. And I'm curious your thoughts on this. On all of these, really, the two tonight and the two tomorrow. By the way, the Nuggets and the T-Wolves will begin on Saturday, the only one of the conference semifinal series that has been determined, that has been locked in already. But tonight, it's the Knicks and the Sixers. It's the Bucks and the Pacers. It begins with the Bucks and the Pacers. Remember, the Pacers are up 3-2, but this is back in Milwaukee. This is in Indiana, I should say. And it's their shot, right? If you're up 3-1 in a series, but you don't have games in 5 and 7 at your place, it's kind of a faux 3-1 lead because you really only have the one game where you're going to be a favorite. And this is it for the Pacers. 8-point favorites tonight against a Bucks team. I'm seeing 9 right now in some spots against a Bucks team that at this moment, and I do mean this moment, is a team that is not prepared to have Giannis or Dame, but there's a long time between now and tip-off.
Yeah, there really is. I think you're saying it well. I think there's I'm not expecting anything, but man, I think that every day that goes on here and every game that this series goes on, there's a better and better chance we're going to see Giannis before we see Dame. Like I think Dame's could be a little bit further out.
But he got to show up tonight if he is.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it could happen. I wouldn't be shocked by it. I think from a betting perspective, the only way I'd be looking still is Milwaukee. I think this series it has shifted a little bit in just the sense that the Pacers they're so mediocre. I was loaded up on them on Sunday when it was kind of just after Dame's going out. Okay, you can bet against the lowly Bucks. Then Bucks have kind of gotten things together these last the last game. Middleton looking great. Portis didn't get ejected. He's looking good. You know, if he can stay on the court, he's a big factor. So I could not imagine laying 8 points with the Pacers. The defense is just not there for them to cover a big number like this. So it would be Bucks or pass. Nothing for me on this one though.
If someone said, shouldn't my entire handicap of this game be perusing Twitter and Googling anything I can find about Giannis trying to read the tea leaves? And if I come to the conclusion that this guy's a go, I would get ahead of this by taking the points.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'll be doing this afternoon for sure. That will be the only way I will end up on Milwaukee tonight. I'll just remind everybody, though, we did see Giannis try to come back hobbled last year. And, like, he's a guy that relies so much on his athleticism that any lack of explosion or anything, the guy can't be a jump shooter. He's not a jump shooter. So if you put him in that role, it makes it a lot tougher. So that would be my only hesitation. Yes, I would. If he was coming back, though, I would think it's because he's healthy enough that he thinks he can do something on the court.
No, that's a great point. It's not as if let's say KD, when KD was in this similar situation, it's not as if you can make the case, well, he'll just sit behind the three-point line, fire in threes. This is not that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think even when Dame got hurt in that game, right? I mean, with the end of that game, it was, hey, leave me out there. I'll just be a decoy. Like, because he can't, right? Giannis can't really do that. If you see him hobbling over the corner, it's like, let him go. Go ahead. That's fine. Go ahead.
And then, of course, it's game six tonight back in Philly. The Sixers, in unbelievable fashion, erasing a 6-point deficit with less than 30 seconds left in game five to miraculously force overtime, courtesy of the 4-point play, and then a game-tying three from Tyrese Maxey. 7 points from him in that short span. And then they end up beating the Knicks in overtime. And now they're on their home court. They're 3-point favorites trying to force a game seven back at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, no, there was no immediate bets for me after the game five, Gil. I needed a minute to sit on that. Especially I had the under in game five, so that was a pretty bad beat going to overtime. It'd be lean under. I don't think I'm going to end up on a bet on it just because this number has moved a few points now, total down to 199.5, 200. Most places. I will be on the Knicks. I haven't made the bet yet. I'm going to make it here during the show. I will be on the Knicks tonight. I'm going back to it. I think I needed a day to think about it a little bit. But man, the way Joel Embiid was just gassed at the end of that game, everybody on the 76ers besides Tyrese Maxey did not look great, looked out of sorts, looked like they were ready for the series to be over. I know it's going to be a tough mental challenge for the Knicks to get back and play some great basketball tonight after taking that terrible beat at home. But I think they're still just the better prepared team right now to close out this series. If they lose tonight, I will not be betting on them in Game 7. I think they lose this, and this goes back to Madison Square Garden.
Oh, really?
I think that means the Sixers have probably found something a little bit, and who knows what happens in a Game 7 back in the Garden.
Think it'll be a Knicks crowd tonight, or is that done for one?
So, you had the ownership group buy up a bunch of tickets for the 76ers to give out to locals, I believe. So, that is it's an interesting move. I don't know how you feel about this, like, this whole story. I have no problem with any of it. Like, I have no problem with players complaining about the lack of home fans.
Oh,
I have no problem with home fans selling their tickets for 5 to 10 times more than what they're worth. I don't really care about that. It's fine.
I'm a Washington Commodes fan. That place has been overrun by road team fans for 10, 15 years.
Yeah. And is it desperate that the ownership group had to do this? Sure, but I don't care that they're spending their money doing this either.
But I got to tell you, it kind of matters, because before that, it was RFK Stadium, the Theater of Thrills, and it was a totally different story. I mean, it's a shock to Philly, because they're supposed to be one of the great sports towns in America is the thing. We'll talk about tomorrow's games, obviously, a lot more tomorrow. But those are the initial NBA thoughts. We'll come back NBA exact as N. Am I reading this right? NFL Power Rankings, our first of the calendar year post-Super Bowl. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Hope you are. Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. It will also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of Visa Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With Visa Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI. 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems for professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG as in A Numbers Game. ANG.
That's VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe.
Gil, you know how excited people get when they're at a basketball game or something, they're throwing out free T-shirts to the crowd?
Yeah, yeah.
Just imagine one of those T-shirts has 1 month of VSiN free. Boom.
Promo code ANG. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. John Sepulveda. Can't believe you made it through the first segment without mentioning that Iga is in action. She is. Semifinals, Madrid. But she's up against Maddie Keys. She should take care of business. The big one is Rybakina and Sabalenka later today. Logic 3227. If you're talking all-time bad beats, don't forget me losing a bet on a PSG soccer game because one of PSG's players' families was being robbed at their home at gunpoint during the game. Still the craziest thing I've ever seen in a game. Wow. Jeez.
I mean, I was watching that yesterday. There were some missed opportunities for sure on the PSG side. I don't know if there was something more specific I missed.
Clone Bone, we may have lost the Guardians bet, but you don't have to make this a complete loss for your audience. Consolation prize, sushi place name. We talked about it. I was going to give it out if they won.
That was the grand prize, not the consolation prize, apparently. Yeah.
Jimmy Lopez, the good old Mike Berkovici Yom Kippur massacre. Love hearing that story. Jack Larkin, assuming not, but does Sinner's withdrawal from Madrid with hip warrant any Roland Garros futures? Well, if the hip is serious enough to take him out of it, absolutely it would. I mean, right now this is kind of falling Djokovic's way because Nadal is, you know, not the Nadal of old, obviously. Sinner's got the hip issue. Alcaraz looked terrible yesterday. So, like, Joker sitting on the sidelines being like, yep, this looks pretty good right now.
That guy, man. I think that's a great question, though, just overall basic tennis when you're seeing injuries happen. Like, is that where you put more weight into it when a guy is withdrawing from a tournament?
Yeah, the problem is you don't know if it's real or not in tennis, all right? Like, Sinner, obviously, this is a legit injury, but you just don't know if it's going to take him to that point. And that's always the problem. Most injuries in tennis are really nebulous. You're like, is he just pulling out of this tournament because he wants a little more rest for the next one that's bigger, whatever. So there's a lot of that goes on in your head. But this is a Sinner's young guy. He's obviously been this is obviously a legit injury. The question is, does it take him through, you know, the next – does it take him through Rome? Does it take him all the way into Paris? We'll see. Couple more here, by the way. This is from Russ Harden. Well, Gil, not only am I a lifelong Cleveland fan, I also bet them. I also had Baltimore. So I've been numb since Kimbrel blew two games, and Cleveland being Cleveland, all things said, it was a great month of baseball. It was a great month of baseball. By the way, a lot of people making a big deal about the Kimbrel blowing two games. That's baseball. Just like the Guardians losing that game last night was, or two nights ago, it was baseball. You know, like those things happen to every team. And again, the people who are complaining about the Orioles, no one was as unlucky as the Guardians and the Braves. Guardians lost their best pitcher to Tommy John surgery, Shane Bieber, as the Braves did with Spencer Strider. And then the Guardians lost a game to rain, and the Braves lost two to rain. So there's no other team that has a case to be unluckier than those. Dan Goodwin, what a ride. 50-1, shaking my head. And then Nick Kendhammer, not sure I wanted to listen to yesterday's podcast of the show, knowing the nature of it, but God, I love your storytelling. The detail of when you talk literally makes me feel like I'm there living the ups and downs with you. I truly am sorry as I had no skin in the game. Oh, Nick, that's very kind of you to say. Hope everybody enjoyed the retelling anyway. NBA Finals exact outcome. Kelly, I was mentioning the other day, I bet one of these. You could actually get 4-1 on the – oh, no. You could actually get better, plus 425 on what I got at plus 375. That's the Nuggets beating the Celtics. That price exists at DraftKings. Only the Celtics beating the Nuggets is shorter at 4-1. And if you ask yourself, wow, really the Celtics are shorter than the Nuggets? The reason for that simply is that their path to get to the finals is easier and therefore shorter than the opposite, the Nuggets beating the Celtics, Nuggets having more difficult path out west. After that, it's all Celtics over opponents. And that makes sense, again, because of the nature of the Eastern Conference field right now. Celtics to beat the Thunder, plus 650. Celtics to beat the T-Wolves, 10-1. Celtics to beat the Mavericks, 12-1. And then after the Nuggets beating the Knicks, it's all Celtics on the other side. T-Wolves to beat the Celtics, 18-1. Thunder beating the Celtics, you get the idea. Mavericks to beat the Celtics. And that makes sense, mathematically. Makes complete sense. Is there a bet here for you?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I did bet the I have the Mavericks and Mavericks over the Celtics. I bet at the beginning of the playoffs.
I remember that.
Yeah, bet at the beginning of the playoffs. I didn't take the Celtics over the Mavericks because there was such a ridiculous price discrepancy here in town between the two. I still think 12-1. Like, I like it. I think the time would be now for you to make that bet. If it's you saw the Mavericks team I saw last night, Luka Doncic. By the way, I think he's playing the same games that LeBron plays. I love these NBA mind games where it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be back to the Lakers. Luka at shoot-around yesterday be like, oh, I've been dealing with this illness and the knee's not great. And then he's had by far his best game of the series.
Shooting from the rafters.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be the one I'd be most interested in. I'm wrapped up in this market, though. I've got Thunder and Celtics both ways. That would be awesome if those two met in the finals. And then I have the Mavericks over the Celtics, so I'd have to do some hedging, I guess.
If someone said right now, though, I get it. You've got those prices. But Thunder to beat Celtics 18-1 and then Celtics to beat Thunder plus 650, would you say yes, bet them?
I like the Celtics over the Mavericks 12-1 best. That's on.
That's your best one.
That would be my favorite one. I have absolutely no problem with anybody thinking the way you're thinking, though, and saying Nuggets and Celtics are meeting in the finals. You can't convince me otherwise.
In the year of... Again, UConn, South Carolina, Scottie Scheffler, and Nelly Korda. I got the Nuggets over the Celtics.
Yeah, and look, the way I view it is the Sixers and or Knicks could give the Celtics some issues, but I think it's very likely the Celtics are representing the Eastern Conference, the NBA Finals. I'm excited for the second round of the Western Conference. I think there are four really good teams. I should shut up right now. I have so much Maverick series stuff. What am I talking about? There, hopefully, Gil, will be four really good teams facing off in the second round.
How's JVT doing? We got a wellness check on JVT?
Yeah, it's one of those situations you just don't text each
other.
Zach and I were both on the Mavs yesterday, assuming JVT wasn't. You just don't text each other.
Ladies and gentlemen, NFL Power Rankings. Do we have an intro?
Well, no, it's been a few minutes. Yeah, no, we'll just move along.
Plug it up. 107.5 The Po. Okay. Me first, you first.
You first. This is an interesting exercise.
It is interesting because you're playing off the drift of last year.
Yep.
And then you're trying to convince yourself that something mattered in the draft enough, you know, kind of thing.
And we're still just going same old power rankings like we've always done. This isn't from a odds perspective or betting perspective right now.
All right, one, Kansas City. Sorry, if you're doing anything else, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if you know this, but they won the Super Bowl.
I mean, at what week during the season do you think one of us could possibly change that? Like after what
we
saw last year.
I think we've learned our lesson.
Right. After what we saw last season.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have to take to like week 5 or week 6 when they're like 1-5 or something like that for me to move them.
Xavier Worthy, they traded up to draft him in the first round. The lineage of Tyreek to Kadarius to Xavier Worthy is intact. Chiefs, number 1. Niners are number 2. I know there's talk about Ayuk and Debo, but I still got the Niners at number 2. The Bengals are the wild card here, and I threw them in at number 3 because Joe Burrow is walking through that door. Give me the Bengals at 3. And then it's Ravens at 4 because the Ravens are just always good at football. They do everything right. Eagles are 5. The Lions making their highest appearance for me in the last year. 6. Congratulations, Lions fans. Bills fall to 7. But it's still Josh Allen. And then it's Texans, Dolphins, Packers. Packers make the top 10 for me. But those are my top 10 right now.
I had no idea what to do with the back end. The one thing I'm shocked at on yours is that you have the Eagles ranked higher than me. I was sitting there yesterday, and I like the Eagles still. Like, I think they're going to bounce back from last year. I love the pieces that they added in the offseason.
I don't have the Cowboys in there, though.
No, you don't. You don't. No. And I don't have them in mine either. I feel like we say this every year during the regular season, too, but the back half of this was not easy.
No.
It was not easy for me. I thought Chiefs, 49ers, I'm a big Josh Allen guy, sorry. The Bills will still always be up there for me. I went number 3 for them still. Ravens, Bengals. Flip a coin, you could put them either way, I think. I went Ravens and then Bengals. But, you know, like you said, Joe Burrow back. I'm high on the Bengals. Lions, same here. As high as they've pretty much ever been for me. Number 6, Texans. I'll believe in the CJ Stroud greatness once again. 7 for me. Then I went Eagles. And then I'm like, okay, who else in the NFC? I don't believe in these two teams as much as seemingly some other people do. But Rams, Packers, 9-10 for me.
Rams, wow. Without Aaron Donald, huh? Okay. Take it for what it's worth. Horse racing, Kentucky Derby with Peter Fornital next. Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription. Your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies for a limited time only. And it is limited. We're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Listen to this. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. And if you sign up today, we'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. So, I'll do the math. 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. Gotta use ANG, though. ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI. 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game. Easy to remember.
That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, that's the voice of Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
I like the graphic, by the way. It's like the font of like that goes on like used cars. You know what I mean?
It's probably not what you wanted to compare it to, but yeah, no,
like
I get
a
it.
Car tag. You know what I'm talking about?
Our prices have slashed.
That's right, we're slashing prices.
They throw that thing down on the car's windshield.
All right, I'm starting to read that way. We're slashing prices here.
We're gonna get. We don't take callers on the show, but you had a great suggestion.
off air? Would you like to share?
Well, like one of my favorite things of coming to work at VSiN was that we don't have to, we don't take calls like a sports talk show where we've worked in the past, and that can be great sometimes. Sometimes it can be a little bothersome. You gotta vet the calls and everything like that. So I love that. But we might need like a Chris Felica, Will Hill, just hotline because like the text messaging during, just call it. Just call.
Yeah, crack. Like say, oh, they're in bed with, hey, stop it. Phil Weiss. Was Fornatale's father, Pete Fornatale, legendary WNEW and WPLJ 1970s disc jockey? Phil, I think so.
Wow, I used to listen to those stations. Wow.
I think so.
PLJ. 95. It was 95.5, I believe.
Oh, this is a great one. Tim Johnson, he's great. He said, I laugh every time these NBA broadcasts mention the 79% win rate for Game 5 winners. Isn't it a coin flip at 75% rate under the same conditions? Yes, it is. Mike Alvarez, I was offline yesterday, and I remember when this show would hit on 100-1 College World Series futures. Now we can't even cash a simple 65-1 futures ticket. You suck, Alexander. The groundskeeper from Major League is right. They are still a bad team also. He didn't say those words.
What a loser. Ben Wilson's on next Friday. Maybe he could give some College World Series advice.
He can help us out, for God's sake. Sorry about that. This is, by the way, Iga wins, and my man Brian Schaefer cashes his bet, -6.5. She wins 6-1, 6-3.
There we go.
There's the fly. Bobby Geddes. I think I have said the word Guardians more times in the last week than I've said the word Indians in the last 30 years. If this was a movie, it would be called Guardians of the Tragedy, the things betting does to us. Oh, Jack Larkin from Sports Trade saying they've officially launched in Iowa.
Nice. Congratulations.
Iowa. There you go. Alec Carlisle. Thank you for pronouncing my name correctly. Almost never happens. Really? People don't pronounce Alec Carlisle correctly. Forrest Lehman. Pablo Torre rocks. Great get tomorrow. Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it.
Teddy Rick. Listening to Bill and Gil talk about the Schwab on VSiN has me tearing up just a bit.
That's nice of him. I just actually sent him a DM and said thank you.
Matt F., I believe Peter said he didn't see any horse winning the Triple Crown this year, not that he couldn't find odds. And this is interesting. Okay, Vegas Vice wants to add some clarification. I think this is a good tweet. Here he goes. The track incentive to allow the computer groups to put bets in last is that they bet large amounts and the track keeps a percentage of the handle. Hence, the track incentive is to generate increased handle. It will eventually kill horse racing for everyday players.
Wow.
How about that?
That's interesting. So in other words, he's saying it's a good thing?
No, he's not saying it. For the collective, he's saying it's a bad thing.
Okay, good. Because I was about to say, does he believe in like mermaids and unicorns?
No. He was very clear.
Yes, he was good. He was good. Yeah, no, I mean, they do. They get, I guess on the win bets, I'll use for a low 15%. Well, I think it's higher than that, actually. But maybe New York might be 14. But so they get a percent. So if someone's betting $10,000, they're getting $1,500 for giving them the right to do that. But I just don't quite fully understand why they would do it, because what they're doing, like Vegas Vice said, it hurts Joe Public in the end.
They're cannibalizing their own sport.
Right. That's good words.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
It hurts the Joe Public guys. But another thing, guys, that I wanted to talk about in Vegas here. So there's a big thing going on with Resorts World, and they got rid of their president or whatever it may be. But you know what? Let me talk about the other side of this. It's the KYC law that's the casinos are supposed to follow. Know your customer. So a casino host, a vice president of player development, a vice president of marketing, all the way up to the top of every casino in town. Do you think they hate this law? They hate that they have to find out where the customer's money comes from?
Backtrack a second.
Sure.
Explain what you're referring to here. What happened?
Well, it's just, I'm talking about the law itself, the KYC law. know your customer in general. For any big high rollers that come in, they want to know. They want you to know where the customer's money comes in if they're losing over 10 grand. In general, and if they give them a credit line, if they issue you a credit line, if they gamble big.
But
what
I was getting
at Resorts World.
You're referring to the Ohtani situation.
Yes. Ohtani. Or at Resorts World, they got rid of the president there.
Yeah.
And he pleaded guilty. He's going to be sentenced in May for knowing about where these customers, these bookmakers' monies come from. Multiple.
The bookmaker in question was laundering money through Resorts World.
That's what they say.
Allegedly.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Allegedly.
I'll just tell you this.
Such a good word. Allegedly.
If
didn't Rome used to do that, he would say something, he'd be like, allegedly. Yeah.
Hey, it is. It is. Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
If casino executives had to turn down anyone that's gambling in their casinos due to previous nefarious activity, casinos would probably close. They wouldn't be able to stay in business. That's how much people come in. Atlantic City was built on mob money.
What you are suggesting, Bill Krakenberger, is that these types of people may have...
I'm not looking at bookmakers in general. In general.
No, I'm saying in general, people who gamble a lot of money may have... sketchy background sometimes.
Listen, like I said, Atlantic City was built on mob guys coming down and dumping bagfuls of money on the crap table.
I'm being sarcastic.
No, I know.
Yeah.
That's how it was built. I mean, look at the show American Greed. All right? American Greed. It's a great show. Look how the percentage of those shows have some type of gambling in the background where people were stealing money to gamble, whether it be the stock market, buying, Bitcoin. Of course, horse racing, casino gambling. So look at the money. In the end, the casinos get the money. And guess what? They don't have to give it back. So give me a break with this, KYC, and we have to instruct this. Every casino in town wouldn't be able to last if you couldn't take people's money that were making money, doing something in their lifetime that was nefarious. I'll use that word.
I love American Greed.
Yeah, me too.
Kelly,
who's the voice of that guy?
Stacy Keach.
Stacy Keach. Where'd you come up with that?
Because I
that in front of you?
No, because I. The why do I love that show more than anything?
Stacy Keach.
It's fun working with him every day.
Yeah. How did he get that?
Because there's nothing. No. Because I checked on this when I became fat. Because Deborah Song, fashion stylist, she loves these true crime shows. So she's watching American Greed, and all I kept hearing was American Greed. When American Greed comes back, Kelly Bidlin thought he could get away with the crime.
That's the way he does it.
But he couldn't. Right?
I never knew how sick.
I'm going to have to watch this now.
Listen, I never knew how sick he was.
Yes.
He just came up
is.
With the voice.
No, that's exactly it. So Stacy Keach. So the whole time I'm like, who is the voiceover guy? So I Googled it back then.
But
I'm
he
like,
was a big actor in his day,
he
too,
was a
right?
big actor. Yeah, Stacy Keach. What
he's
was
probably
he like?
80 years old. I mean,
oh, he's got to be 1,000.
A B actor, but he's in a lot of things, though.
He's got to be 1,000 years
but
old.
But if you watch, American Greed is very good.
American Greed.
But the gambling industry, it profits a lot from those American Greed episodes. What happened with people stealing money. What do they think about it? What are you stealing money for? What are you being greedy for? To obtain items and materialistic things? Gambling is usually involved in that. So, and then you have the people that gamble that steal money just to gamble because they're degens. And I get it. I mean, I see these stories and I'm like, wow. But, I just wanted to talk about this KYC law and how they're saying, well, you have to know. Do you think a casino host wants to go up to a guy that's stuck $6,000
right.
and say, oh, by the way, Mr. Jones,
where
does your money come from? I'm stuck $6,000. Let me get out of here. Get away from me. You're it's
and yet if it's in their interest, they are very often able to use compliance laws or whatever definition they want to actually
compliance departments are funny.
Yeah.
They're really funny. Anyone that works in compliance for a casino, they should hire, make sure they gambled in their life, then they get the job in compliance. Give me a break.
When American Greed continues,
right?
Kelly Bidlin gets his comeuppance.
Right. That sounds just like it, though. It sounds it.
I know this guy. Now you're talking about. He's only 82 years old. Okay, come on.
Wow. That's good.
Kelly, you would be awesome on that show. There goes Kelly.